Welcome to Inside the Newsroom, the Sentinel Records weekly podcast that takes a closer look at news and sports in Garland County.
For this week's episode of Inside the Newsroom, I interviewed Hot Springs Police Department Police Chief Chris Chapman and Sergeant Kenny May concerning mass shootings and how the police department is prepared to respond to them, as well as how civilians themselves can be better prepared for such a threat.
This podcast is kind of in the wake of a lot of recent shootings. I believe the statistics were near record highs for this year so far. And first question I had to ask was, the Washington Post recently reported more than 300 mass shooting incidents in the country so far this year, including the May 12th incident outside the Hot Springs Convention Center. What's your perspective? Is this a growing trend?
So, yes, we are seeing more of these committed, and that number is dependent upon which definition you use for a mass shooting, but based on what is considered probably the most used definition, that's a correct number. We're seeing more of these occur across our country, and not just across our country, but across the globe. And so we've got to be prepared, we've got to train constantly, we've got to educate our civilian staff, we've got to educate our businesses and churches and other people on how to be prepared for these.
And without revealing any, tactical information or privileged information, how do your officers train for such incidents as schooling classes? How has the police department kind of adapted to this? And has it kind of been a recent adaptation or?
No, so we've trained for active shooter here at the Hot Springs Police Department for a number of years. We used, and I'll let Sergeant May speak to this in more depth, but we use a regionally recognized best practice training platform through what's called ALERT. It was developed by San Marcos State University out of Texas. They're currently the entity that's doing the debrief of the Uvalde shooting. They're considered probably the standards best at active shooter training. They incorporate a three-phase component to their training, a law enforcement component, a civilian component to teach our civilian, our populace how to react during an active shooter event, and then they also teach an integrated response, which is just as important, and that's where law enforcement, fire, and EMS, how they respond together during a critical incident. So we've trained on that platform for a number of years. Sergeant May is a subject matter expert in that training, and we're very fortunate that all of our law enforcement agencies in the region, when I say region, Garland County, are trained on the same platform. So, Sergeant May?
Yeah, so just to speak a little more on what ALERT is, it's advanced law enforcement rapid response training. Of course, that's rapid response to an active shooter environment. And so what our department does, we've got a host of ALERT instructors. So not only our officers at our department students, but we have a handful of officers who have gone through the train the trainer course that we can conduct the ALERT training for our officers. And as he said, any team, any department in the region that wants to partake in that training. Just a few details about that training. What it's doing is preparing solo response patrol officers, groups of two, groups of three, groups of four, all the way up to a team response to an active shooter. And so what a lot of people don't realize is an active shooter that goes into a business or a school or a hospital or an outside open air St. Patty's Day parade, a lot of those are going to be addressed on the front end by a solo patrol officer. Okay, that's not always just a SWAT team function. It's going to take the SWAT team a long time to get there. Hopefully by that time, a patrol officer has eliminated the threat. And that's what we address in ALERT training. And so every new officer that we hire at this department goes through that ALERT training when they get hired. Annually, every single sworn position here, from the chief down to the newest officer who may have just went through it, everyone is going to go through that ALERT training again each year. And so we have an ongoing, it's sad that in the greatest country in the world, we have to put that amount of focus on preventing active shooters or at least mitigating the damage of one. But that's the world that we live in, as Chief Chapman and you have discussed the trends. It is an increasing trend, and so we train on it numerous times annually.
But that's one of the points we want to make, is that, you know, regardless of what you've heard through the national media over the course of the last month, your local law enforcement agencies are trained to immediately respond to the threat. There is no hesitation. We are trained to what we consider to be the standards, the profession's best practices. Our individual officer, our 12-month officer, or our 22-year veteran officer is trained to go through that door and find the threat and eliminate that threat. We're not waiting for backup. We're not waiting for a SWAT team. We have empowered our officers to do the right thing, and the right thing is to run to the sound of gunfire. And, you know, again, not many people will do that. And we're very fortunate to have a group of officers here in this county. And when I say county, I'm talking about all of our law enforcement agencies are trained to that level.
And if I can add one thing to that question, without getting into the tactics as you alluded to, I will say one thing. And every officer who goes through alert, from the newest officer on the street by himself, that officer knows what his course of action is to be if he responds to an active shooter. And I do want to make this known just for the citizens of our city, that officer knows that he is not waiting on a direct order from Chief Chapman or from myself. I'm also the SWAT commander. They're not waiting on an order. They know what to do without hesitation as soon as they have what we call a driving force into that school, which an active shooter is a driving force, obviously.
They're empowered to make those decisions, which is very important that they understand that. And the other value to the alert training, as I said, there's three components to it. So obviously the law enforcement side, we're properly trained. We know what we're going to do. But it's also very important for our community to know what they need to do during the event in case a shooting happens or a mass casualty event in general. Because an active attack can be multiple things. It could be gunfire, it could be a vehicle, it could be knives, it could be explosives. So there's a training curve, a learning curve for our civilian staff. We do that training absolutely for free. Matter of fact, in the month of June and this month, we'll have taught the civilian side of that. It's called CRACE, Civilian Response to Active Shooter Events. We have taught that nearly 20 times in the last 6 weeks based on ongoing events. We have literally taught thousands of civilians how to respond during that time an event starts until we get there to neutralize that threat. That's a huge component. We can save lives. The more people we educate on how to respond to one of these events and how to act and some mitigating tasks that they can do while we're en route, that saves lives. And we're currently training some very large civilian organizations in our community. We do that training for free. We've taught classes of three people at some small churches to hundreds and hundreds of staff members at some of our larger corporate employers. And again, that is free training. We offer to do that. We want to do that. It's a mandate through the alert program. We can't charge for it. We want to do it. And the more people we train, the more people's lives we save.
And how can people take advantage of that or find out how?
They simply call and ask to speak to our public information officer, Omar Cervantes. He will get with our trainers. I'm one of the civilian trainers. We have four civilian trainers. We have, I think, eight law enforcement trainers. Yeah. So we have a great training element here. We'll get it scheduled and we'll come out. It's a several hour class. It's a three-step process, but we'll help you learn the techniques to survive an active shooter. We'll help you do a threat assessment for your business, your church, your location. We'll help mitigate some of the potential threats there, and then we'll do some scenario-based training with you if that's what you like.
For local content like this and much more, subscribe to the Sentinel Record by visiting hotsr.com and clicking subscribe.
The next question they had for me was, the recent mass shootings in open public spaces have generated a lot of concern among the public. What would you say in response to those concerns?
So I would say, regrettably, those open air venues are very difficult to mitigate every single potential. We do a lot of pre-planning at events that we are a part of. We do a lot of security planning. We do a lot of threat mitigation. If you're having an open air event, I encourage the businesses, the churches, the community to reach out to us, help us by allowing us to help you plan that event. We can suggest some things, we can provide some security, but the open air events are very difficult.
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges in
there. There's a lot of challenges.
You look at a building that has a finite number of entry points, just to name one factor, compared to an open air event where you literally have 360 degrees of access to anybody, especially a non-paying event, an event that you can just walk from anywhere in town, walk right up to the event. And Hot Springs is great in the aspect that it has a lot of those events, and they're great for the community as long as everything goes well. And so, as Chief Chapman said, there's a substantial amount of planning that goes into each of those events, some of which is seen by people who go to those events, uniformed officers in that, but that's the first level of planning and the first level of
defense
that we deploy. There's a lot that's unseen at these events that are all aimed to keep people safe. And when we have open air events that the police department is invited to help plan, we're not just planning, as he said, we're not just planning for active shooters, we're planning for vehicles, shooters, knives, any weapons of mass destruction. We have bomb sniffing canines that we can deploy. We have a lot of different resources that we throw at these to help make sure that people stay safe at these events.
Probably 2/3 of what we do for a special event is never seen by the public, mm-hmm. which is very purposeful. Mm-hmm. So at any large-scale event that the city sponsors, that we're involved in, we do our best to try to mitigate those risks as best as possible. But unfortunately, we live in a world where you just can't take all of those risks off the table. We're there. If something were to happen, we hope that we have the resources in place to neutralize that situation as quickly as possible and save the largest number of lives as we can.
And kind of tying back to the program that you guys run, what steps can individuals and businesses take to increase their personal safety at public events, and what can people do to protect themselves and those around them?
So obviously, be aware of your surroundings. That's probably the number one thing that we teach on the civilian side of the course that we're part of, is that knowing your surroundings, being aware of the situation, not being paranoid, okay? I'm not telling you to be paranoid, but we all need to be aware of our surroundings. And then you need to know how to respond properly. That's why we do the civilian response to active shooters. We teach a basic skill set that can be used in your place of business, your church, if you go shopping at Walmart, or you're sitting at Chili's at dinner one night and something bad happens. So the skills that we teach during that class can be utilized anywhere and everywhere. And we teach the avoid, deny, defend. It's a three-step concept. If you avoid the shooter, you can't get shot. And then if you have to deny, that's a working word, denying access to the shooter so he can't get to you or your family or your coworkers. And then if you have to defend, you defend like your life depends upon it, because it does. Their intent is to cause as much damage and harm as they can in the shortest amount of time. But we teach that three-step process, and it can be used anywhere, and it does save lives. If you will take the time to learn that and to ask us to come out and teach that class for your civilian staff, we actually enjoy doing it, because we believe we're truly saving lives in the event something bad happens. So.
And at what point would you recommend a member of the public contact a law enforcement agency about concerning behavior exhibited by a relative, friend, coworker, etc.?
Yeah, so I think if you're concerned, call us. And depending on the level of concern or the circumstances behind that concern, we may be limited on what we can and can't do, but I believe we live in a society that doesn't report those things soon enough. I think we could potentially prevent a lot of these if we knew more on the front end what was going on. The debrief of so many of these situations, you will hear people say, well, so-and-so was acting in a certain way. I didn't feel comfortable. We saw them doing something. They were saying a certain thing. We've got to get to a point where we're comfortable telling law enforcement that, because we need to be able to take action to prevent these from happening. And again, based on that circumstances, maybe we can refer some sort of mental health aspect to the situation. We've got great partners in our community that we can bring to the table. It's not just a law enforcement component. There's a lot of other components out there that we can utilize to assist someone that's in a moment of distress. And there's so many mental health components to these events. And so The more we can address them early on, maybe we can prevent some of the disaster that we've seen across our country.
And as Chief Chapman said, by no means are we telling people to be paranoid. However, there's a lot of value in trusting your gut. Something that, as far as, you know, when should they report suspicious behavior, human beings have evolved to self-preserve. People want to stay alive. They just do. If your gut is telling you something's wrong, call us.
It's probably wrong.
The best thing that can happen, if you call the police and nothing was wrong, is that we go check it out and nothing's wrong. We don't mind doing that. Okay, I don't care if we respond to 99 out of 100 calls, suspicious calls, and 99 times it's nothing. That's great news. That's not a waste of our time. That's great news. But the one time it's not, we need to be called. We need to be there. We can't address the problem, especially in active shooter environments. We're not going to solve that problem quick enough unless we're called the moment someone sees something that looks out of place, then it's probably out of place, and you need to call and let us check it out.
And people need to understand we are service-driven. That's what we do. We respond to calls for service. I would rather overreact to a situation than underreact all day long. I would rather you call us with a potential concern and 99 out of 100 times we find out there's nothing to it. But we are a service industry. We answer your calls. And so if you've got a call, you got a need, please call us. We're going to come out. We're going to investigate it. We're going to do what we can. We're going to bring other resources to bear to solve that problem. We've migrated through time to completely 100% understand that the problems in our community, whether it's this problem or any other problem we're talking about, we can't solve by ourselves. So we've got great partnerships with a lot of people in this community that can bring a lot of different resources to bear on any potential problem. And we've learned to use that to our advantage. So.
Well, I believe that's all the questions I had. Is there anything either of you would like to add?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Well, thank you very much for agreeing to be interviewed.
Absolutely. No problem.
Good to meet you.
This has been an episode of Inside the Newsroom. New episodes are released every Thursday. Thank you for listening.